Well, we're back. Hi, Brent. How are you today?
I'm excellent. How about yourself?
You're excellent, even though the election has just been concluded with Mr. Eby having a majority.
Well, I can't say I'm pleased about that. You know, that certainly wasn't my first choice, and quite disappointing. I would have rather seen a minority NDP government if we had to have the NDP in there. You know, and obviously the public has told EB something that they're not happy.
Well, and of course he says all the right thing, he's going to listen on all this, but in the end I think our experience has been they don't listen. They have an agenda and they work towards the agenda. Now the interesting thing is they could, if they put one of the green parties in the chair, then they would keep their 47 majority on the vote. If they have to put an NDP guy as the chair, then they lose that
seat. Exactly right.
And then if anybody ever gets sick on the NDP side, you know, it's a better government because they'll be watching more. But what I'm concerned about, not so much concerned about, because we survive all governments. I mean, Brent, we have had NDP governments and Liberal governments and all the different. In the end, I don't think there are anybody is out there trying to get us, but they do have agendas. So EB promised that he has a new program which is going to cost $1.29 billion a year and will create 25,000 new units. And the total cost for the five-year plan is $6.5 billion in 5 years. So, I mean, and then what they'll do is they will cover 40% of the sale price on with a 25-year loan, 40%. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's definitely an incentive for buyers to get in a little bit more affordably. I don't know if I'd like to be in bed or in partnership with the government necessarily. I already give half my money to them, you know, so I don't know how much more money I'll be giving to them or sharing with them. Any kind of, you know, we've seen a lot of policies, you know, federally and provincially that have come around, and some have started and stopped with nobody taking advantage of it. We've seen a lot of policies where the government's come in and to try to save or prevent something, and it's created exactly what they're trying to prevent. So it's really hard to know if this will be successful, and time will tell, obviously.
Well, the interesting thing is that Christy Clark actually brought that forward. And at the time, the NDP, Mr. Eby, and others were saying this was the most ridiculous idea ever, right? The other thing is the federal government brought in a very similar kind of a thing whereby they would be in partnership with the buyer. And that went over like a lead balloon. It was worse than a lead balloon. It was a no-go. People just said, I don't want to be a partner.
Absolutely no-go. Nobody took them up on that.
But this one would be, it's better in that, you know, I now need only 60%. Now it's under $1 million. So let's face it, doesn't apply to the average single family home in Surrey or Vancouver or a condo, and certainly other parts of the province it might apply. So if I can get a, you know, 40% loan and only have to come up with 60%, you know, with my down payment, then part of that 60%, it might make it more interesting for me to get into the market. The only thing is that when we sell it, 40% of the profit also goes to the government, all part of the costs, all that. That's how they hope to recover it. And it's a 25-year loan at 1.5%, so that's also pretty good. You can't really debate that. That is not good.
It sounds great, and you're right. You and I have spoken about joint venture partnerships for years, so this could be a joint venture partnership that actually works. I would love to get into something that I'm only paying the cost of 60% right now, because, you know, prices out here are so expensive, that would make sense that it should work. So I like that idea for sure. And I mean, if it works nicely, you know, and if you can, you know, who knows about the resale value and everything else? Is a buyer going to have to pay that back? Or would the government help them, assist them in buying it with 40% down? What if the government changes and the buyer's no longer partners? Does that depreciate the value of the real estate? You know, so the exit strategy might be a little different depending if the government's still backing those kind of sales or not.
Yeah, it's 40% of the mortgage. So it's 40% of the price, literally. So $1 million house, so $400,000 comes from the government at 1.5%. You've got to come up with $600,000 a mess.
Exactly.
And your own loan.
And I'm just thinking, Chauncey, in that respect, does does the, you know, when I resell it, because let's say I'm not there for 25 years and I want to sell it in 3 to 5 or 10 years, is the government still there to help me back at the new buyer?
No, no. What they're interested in is getting their 40% loan back, right? And and 40% of the profit back, right? So which in any joint venture is fine. You and I are joint ventures, and I put up 60%, you put up 40, and we sell, then there's no problem there. The question is, you know, who is going to be my partner? Because, you know, they're talking, for instance, the government is helping the Heather Lands, that's on West 33rd and West 37th. And that's a partnership with the Musqueam and the Tsil Walut First Nation. I'm sorry, I should pronounce that better. So, but that is actually a 99-year lease. So is this program going to be on a lease program, number one? Number two, it says it's possible future projects across BC would be for homes on lands the homeowner would own outright. But in the meantime, the would be a partnership with municipalities or other First Nations, right? So that will bring me back to what might be in the back of their mind. But so that were, anyways, that was the first thing that the government did. But the governor also is increasing the speculation and vacancy tax for homeowners who leave their home vacant. So what was 0.5% for Canadian is now 1%. And it went from 1.5% for non-Canadians to 3%, right? So there, again, I don't know how much money is being raised that way, but as an owner, you're now, that is in addition to, in the city of Vancouver, the 3% vacant home tax. So if I were to look at, leave anything empty for any reason, it'll cost me 4% now.
Well, and you've shared with us many times about all the different taxes. It almost sounds like a comedy routine. You know, you can't, okay, there's another tax, here's another tax, here's another tax. And, you know, I can share this with you too. You know, a number of people went out and bought condos and they went out and Airbnb, you know, doing Airbnbs. And now, of course, you know, the EB government says no more Airbnbs. But recently a case just happened where the fellow rented out the, or where the couple rented out their condo between 2007 and 2000, or yeah, between 2008 and 2017, they rented it out as a long-term rental. And then in 2017, they decided, let's go short-term rental. The first year they made 11,000, and I think they made 54,000 the next year in short-term rentals. And when they sold it, the government looked at it and said, hang on, this is no longer a residential property. You changed the use from residential to commercial. So now they were, now they had to pay 13%. This was in Ontario. They had to pay 13% HST taxes on this. So they had to pay a total of 77,000 additional taxes to any other capital gains or any other taxes they would have had to pay. So the $11,054,000 that they earned for that short period of time, they paid $77,000 in HST. It's ridiculous how much taxes and how much more. Now, if somebody advised them of doing that, oh, go ahead, you know, short-term rentals, then that's what you refer to a lot when you talk about, you know, when the government's saying, oh yeah, put a laneway house or put a suite in your basement. And you know how much time that takes to get approved.
Feel actually bad to say, you know, you should, this is sort of a duty of yours. And then you pay $70,000 for the permit to build it, the building permit, and then maybe $400,000. And on a 33-foot lot, there's a 33% footprint on that 33-foot lot is now commercial use, right? Well, why do you think that the government will not take that 33% off your capital gain, which is tax-free right now on your house? And the same with anybody that's trying to convert the existing house to a fourplex or a sixplex. If that's an old house and you have $1 million capital gain in there, sit down with your accountant. It's absolutely crucial that you understand, look, the government is not your enemy, but it's not your friend either. And so they have a need for the taxes. Look, they're just spending $6.5 billion on first-time home buyers. And I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but guess where it comes from? You and me, anybody that earns any kind of income, they'll have to find it through additional taxes. But there seems to be almost a direct attack on owners, you know, like the Landlord and Tenant Act. Now that 3 months, what people don't realize, today is the 30th. If on Sunday, I want to give 3 months notice, which is the 3rd of November, that starts on December 1. So December, January, February. So if you have a buyer in your car, who is going to write an offer that he closes on March the 1st? It doesn't make any sense, you know, and so what my realtors are telling me, and you tell me, literally realtors are avoiding tenant occupied properties to sell.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, if I need something and somebody wants to move in by December or January, there's no use me showing something that's tenant occupied. It would probably be, you know, and realtors would prefer it if it was empty, simply because of the fact that, you know, you don't have to deal with that, and you don't have to worry about when the tenant, there's motivation. Two people say, well, Brent, do you think they're motivated? Well, they ought to be, it's empty. But let's face it, a lot of the owners aren't renting them out right now because they have to, you know, so they bought a pre-sale condo. They got, you know, they maybe wanted to sell it, but they couldn't. So they wound up closing on it. Now the government, with their 3-month thing, you know, their 3-month notice and everything else, they think that's going to incentivize the owners. The owners are leaving the places empty because they want to be able to make a decision. And there's no use having a tenant in there and then having to give them a 3-month notice. You have to give them 1 month free rent. You know, they can still dispute it up to a certain period of time. And like you said, you know, if I give the notice on Halloween right now, you know, and, you know, that gives me 3 months. If I give them notice November the 3rd, it's effectively 4 months, isn't it?
That's right. That's what people don't realize, is that it has to be, if you're in the middle of the month, well, it starts on the first of the month. So, you know, the BC Real Estate Association complained, and they went from the original 4 months down to 3 months. But still, for an owner, if you want to repossess your own unit, you need 4 months plus 3 weeks dispute. Anyways, the point is, it's almost like an anti, supposed to be developed landlord and tenanty friendly legislation. Well, it isn't.
I'll give you an example here. Sorry to overtalk you here, Ozzy. I'll give you an example. So my customers move in Italy in January. Their flight leaves in late January. We've got an offer on their place. They happen to be housing, you know, BC people. That's what our government wants us to do. Well, the buyer, you know, if they don't want that tenant, I cannot give, if I don't give them notice now, well, hang on, let's see. It's October. I can't get them the vacancy for the time these people leave for Italy, because they're moving out of the country. They're saying, hey, enough is enough, I'm leaving. So what happens is that, you know, so I have to find somebody that'll either buy the property and keep the tenant, you know, and maybe the rent's low and now they're stuck, the new tenant person is stuck with that rent and they can only raise it 3%, or they have to wait until after my customers leave the country. The reality of it is that now my customers are up against the wall. They may have to sell the house for less money because they've got to find somebody that will take the tenant on, and that might mean that we'll have to lower the price of what it sells for.
That's the thing, you know, you sell it to somebody, they then have to give notice, and they have to then 4 months. Anyways, the point is, I don't think the government's intent was to stop people selling, but look, we have, with the vacant home tax, and I've talked about this before and written it in my newsletter, which, by the way, is ozbuzz.ca. That's ozbuzz.ca. The point is, let's say I have the furniture in my suite in Vancouver, and it's still for my mother, and I have the fine china. It's all wonderful. But we also, my husband and I, we are now getting close to retirement. We purchased over the years, we bought a house on one of the islands or on Vancouver Island, and that's where we spend 6 months of the year. We spent the winter there, and well, now the ridiculous thing is I must rent out the condo in Vancouver. Now, I really want to have a tenant in there. First of all, trying to find somebody for 6 months and then give the appropriate notice and all this other horse shit that is involved. Yeah. But if I don't do it, I have to pay 3% on my, say, $1.5 million condo. That's $45,000 I'm being penalized for being a good manager of my money. I'm not out there being a speculator. Now, the ridiculous thing is, if I don't match it right, then I'm going to have to pay the vacant home tax, the speculation tax on the property on Vancouver Island. So they say, the government says it only applies to 5% of the people. Well, if that was true, they wouldn't collect the kind of money that they want. Anyways, we have right now an interesting situation in Victoria, where 22 former short-term rental units in Victoria have filed 9 lawsuits against the province, arguing the legislation banning short-term rentals amounts to expropriation of the units. And they're right. I mean, they followed all the rules, right? They got the legal thing, they got the permits, they built the darn thing, and then the government says you can't use it. Well, that's expropriation. They want to be have compensation. I tell you, every owner in BC is going to watch those lawsuits with
Absolutely. Here, you know, I remember Kevin O'Leary saying he would never invest in Russia because Russia changes the rules in the middle of the game. And this is before the wars. He says, I will never, ever invest in Russia because of that. My gosh, have we changed a few rules in the middle of the game, Ozzy? You know, like, I mean, we keep on changing the rules, and all of these are not incentivizing people to own real estate in British Columbia. It's unfortunate because, you know, now the tide might turn, but you've made two different talks about, you know, things. The government, like you were saying about David Eby, you know, making these announcements. Well, it's just like the, you know, Trudeau making the announcement about that, you know, we'll partner with these people. The government makes plans or decisions. They don't know how it's going to play out. They make the announcements or election promises without figuring out exactly how it's going to work out. And then they're going to, and then if you ask them exactly how it's going to work out, they don't know yet because they haven't figured it out yet. This is just an election promise. So then they're going to have to go through it. And we're getting like, we're like guinea pigs figuring out how this is going to work in our particular area. Some of them have worked out well enough that Trudeau copied the idea. Oh yeah, that's a good idea. We'll do that too. We'll have, you know, so I mean, the governments look at these things and say, hey, how can I extract more money? And I've said this before, my dad always says the government needs money and they know who has it. And they're pointing at us, you know, and there's all these different ways that they're trying to do this. Like $6.5 billion is a lot of money. And it's the rest of the BC people that will have to help assist, you know, with that kind of money to help the first time buyers or the new buyers buy these pieces of real estate. And we want people to be able to have affordable housing, but I don't know if the government really has the ability to build affordable housing. Maybe less taxation on the builders might be incentivizing the people. I know that the municipalities, not many of the mayors really appreciated being told by the NDP government, this is what you're going to do in your area. We're going to make you build this many houses. You can see that the NDP sure didn't win in West Vancouver. You know, they were decimated in West Vancouver and, you know, and in a lot of other ridings because they didn't want to be told what they had to do. And the municipalities aren't thrilled about what to do. And they're being told exactly how to do it, when to do it, and when you have to make a decision of what you do.
Well, the whole arguments, you know, of course, left and right, and a lot of people saying, well, Rustad made a mistake, he's going to cancel the order of the sixplex. And what people don't realize, all he said was, let the municipality decide, but let them decide within 3 months. And then he had a $1 billion fund to pay for infrastructure for each municipality. Now, if I'm a councillor now in small town BC, yeah, the government says you have to do this. And if you don't do it, we'll appoint somebody and make you do that. But there was no money for the extra street renovations, the sidewalks, the lights, the hydro connections. Well, past that, I think he had a better plan, which, by the way, like in places like West Vancouver, as you point out, or elsewhere, anybody that was a thinking person, I'm not trying to say that NDP supporters are not thinking, but they don't think it through. The consequences right now, and we've talked about this again, the developers are incredibly stretched to get to the 60% financing that they'll only get if they have 60% of the sales. And all the deals you see out there, by the way, anybody that's interested in great pre-sale deals, give Brent a call. His phone number is down below in the description, or right, send him an email, because he knows which ones are offering the best deal. Well, the reason why, if they don't do it, and probably in the next week or so, it's over. Nobody buys pre-sale in the winter. And so what we'll see, I'm quite sure, is that somewhere in the middle of November, we'll hear that a dozen developments just were coming off the market. And so the very fact that we have these constant changes and zapping, always the developer and the buyer is actually zapped by having to pay higher and higher prices, all in due of we want to create more affordability, actually is not more affordable. Now, affordable. Now, the thing also is that, you know, the reason why they need more taxes is why they're overspent. Now, in all of my books, you know, whether that was Forget About Location, Location, Forget About Location, Real Estate Action 1, Real Estate Action 2, Real Estate in Canada, What, Where, When, and How to Buy, all of the books and over 300 newsletters, I always made the point, real estate will always be good because we'll always have inflation. Now, you can argue till you're blue in the face, but Milton Friedman says inflation is primarily a monetary phenomena. And that's what we have in the world right now, the mother of all monetary phenomena. And we're spending money like drunken sailors. The US now at $36 trillion. The interest on that is more than all healthcare in the United States, or more than the United States Armed Forces, one of the biggest in the world. That's just the interest payment. But look at Europe. Taxes are the answer, right? Look at Britain.
Well, look at what you're exactly, Ozzy. I mean, the UK has just announced their biggest tax increase in three decades. You know, they're looking at raising another £40 billion annually from, you know, that's going on the backs of the UK people, you know, and they're already paying higher money for groceries and rent and housing and everything else. And now we're going to put another 40, the biggest increase in, you know, and of course they're blaming their previous government. Huh, I wonder who did that recently here locally. excuse me.
One of our viewers wrote me a note. He says, if the conservatives come in, will they delete the increase in the capital gains tax? And I said, well, you know, any government that needs money, it doesn't matter who they are, they'll need the money. Right. And it's wonderful if they can blame all the ills of the world on the previous government. And I don't think conservatives, if they've been, I think they're going to be a better government than Trudeau. That's almost, you and I could probably do a better job. It's not sure, but probably, but at least we believe we could. But the point is, what already is an existing tax is going to be very hard to reverse. Well, look, we come a long way talking about, because we have an election kind of a situation, but we cannot leave our listeners with the proof that prices are coming down. You have a spectacular condo for sale right now in Coquitlam.
Well, absolutely. You know, so here's the situation. So first of all, unfortunately, my customer, I didn't help her buy the property, but, you know, she bought it in last year in 2023. She paid $550,000 for it. It's a nice little one bedroom condo in Coquitlam. She paid $550,000. We originally priced it at $599,000. We had an offer at $560,000. They couldn't get financing. Then we've dropped the price. We've dropped the price a few times. We're now priced $100,000 less. We're now priced $50,000 below what she bought it for, unfortunately. You know, it's empty, so it's costing a lot of money for her every month. So you either take the loss this way or you take the loss in monthly payments. So, you know, this is available for $50,000 below what she bought it for. We had an offer the other day. It didn't come through. The previous offer was a good offer and we accepted it. She wouldn't have really lost much money. But unfortunately, as the bank tightens the financing approvals, a nurse couldn't get qualified for the mortgage, unfortunately. So great value. And these things are going on regularly right now.
The market is still down and there's still these deals out there. And then from a buyer's point of view, that's stink bit, you know, because people will look at it.
Exactly. You know, and this is exactly right. There's motivation. There's people that still need to sell their houses. In some areas, in some categories, only 5% of the market selling. That's one out of 20 properties. That's not very good. You know, and in a good area, it's the board average right now is 11. That means one out of 10 properties. So, I mean, you know, if you've priced your home incorrectly, for example, or, you know, trying to be a little bit more optimistic than you should be, you're going to sit there. I mean, you know, if only 10% of the market selling or 11% of the market selling, there's a good possibility that you could be on the market for a month and not see a buyer come through your property.
Well, and that's the thing. So as a buyer, you go out, you find, is there a real reason the person has to sell? You know, maybe he's meeting his daughter in Ontario. He has a real reason to sell. Or maybe he's owned it for a while. Well, then get a quality realtor and make an offer. Now, we have been saying this for a while, and you get a lot of flack, but the facts are sales are way down, and buyers are waiting right now for maybe more price reductions. In addition to that, there now is this new player where they think that Poilievre, if he gets in, he will give another goodie, which is literally a waiving of the GST on anything under, I believe, $1 million property. Right. Oh, that's on $1 million, you waive the GST. That's $50,000 gift. And if he, now the question is, he's not in power, right? But more and more there comes the thing that Trudeau is under problems, the Quebecois are not supporting him anymore, although I think the NDP will for a while, and so there may not be an election for a while. But there's all these goodies pending, and so from the buyer's point of view, if I was a buyer, I would certainly understand saying, you know, maybe next year we're going to have a 2.5% benchmark rate, and the prime rate may be down to maybe 4, and maybe I can get 1% below that, and all of a sudden, 3% versus 5%, the difference gives me a great benefit by waiting. And maybe Polyev is going to be in and I pick up the GST as well. We don't know, right? But we live in this wonderful world of uncertainty. And so that usually if it's uncertain, people back off.
Exactly. And I can share this with you as well. And it's interesting because, like you said, you know, Polyev will give incentives. Trudeau will give incentives. Hey, if you elect me, I will give you this. The NDP just did it. They, you know, it was interesting to listen to David Eby. If I get elected, I'll do this. Hang on, you were in power. You could have done this at any time. Yeah. You know, Trudeau could have done this stuff at any time. It's interesting listening to these leaders talk about, hey, if I get elected, I'll do this. You were in power. You could have done that at any time. Now that your job is being threatened, now I'm offering to get to work. You know, how does that old joke go? When did you start working? Well, the day they tried to fire me. you know, that's when you start getting active. And it sounds like that's what's going on here. Hopefully we see some accountability now, and hopefully we have some, you know, a little bit more of tightening. You know, we need better healthcare, we need cheaper prices and houses, not more affordability, not necessarily, you don't want to see the people lose their equity in their houses, but we do need more affordability.
That sounds good. And you see, all you have to do is listen to Brent and Ozzy, and we can solve all the world's problems. See you next week. Thanks for watching, and make sure you click on the like and the subscribe button.
And follow OzBuzz.